As we promised you, early edition Zach Osterman this week, the Indianapolis Star beat writer for Indiana everything, including basketball, football, baseball, soccer, you name it. He covers it, but if it's March and the first Wednesday of March, we are talking hoops. And this will be our first of two visits on, Wednesday, Thursday instead of Thursday, Friday, like we normally do. And here we are, game night for Indiana basketball. So we'll get a preview and a recap, and then a recap tomorrow of what we saw tonight. Indiana is in the barn, Williams Arena, Minnesota, 9 o'clock, Big Ten Network this evening. And, we're in kind of uncharted water here. We are in uncharted water. Indiana had never won two games in a row in league play in 2024, and now making to look at three straight tonight. Well, what a difference Xavier Johnson makes returning from injury. What a difference it makes to see this lineup who you've had folks contribute now across the board. Every time Mike Woodson is pulling a string, he's getting some results from his players. And, Indiana's trip to Maryland also brought us a familiar, hey, look who's down 15, 16 points again. Well, the more things change, the more they stay the same. But a two-game winning streak is very nice. And Indiana is starting to find a little light at the end of the tunnel. But the question everybody wants to know, my good friend, is it a little too much, a little too late? Is this a false positive? What do we take away from this two-game winning streak and Indiana getting off the mat again against Maryland?
Too little, too late, yes, probably. I'm kind of writing something on that I'll put out whether they beat Minnesota Wednesday night or not later in the week. But we can get into the ins and outs of kind of what Indiana's, I guess, NCAA tournament resume, as it were, looks like, if you want. Is it too late for the short answer to that question is almost certainly, I would say. But if you're Indiana, listen, we've talked about this before. You're trying to stack good days. You're trying to show there's still some fight. You're trying to pull some things together. And, the Wisconsin game obviously was a good one. Kalel Ware was outstanding. I actually thought there were some ways in which he was even better against Maryland. I know he didn't score in the first half, and I think that's actually meaningful in a way that you still saw how impactful he was, even when kind of the points weren't coming, when the offense wasn't coming. But I also thought Maryland was, in fairness to Mike Woodson, maybe, the best example yet of a game he could point to and say, this is what it looked like in my mind's eye before the season. This is what I had in mind. A healthy Xavier Johnson, a big front court that can move bodies around, that can score from a lot of different angles, that can be a defensive mismatch kind of problem, that maybe isn't quite as susceptible on the boards as Indiana's been at times this season. The turnovers were an issue in the first half, really about the first 10, 12 minutes, I would say. And that's kind of what let Maryland get control of the game there in the sort of the interval around halftime, either side of it. But Xavier Johnson and Trey Galloway running together, impact minutes from veterans off the bench. I thought Gabe Cups, he has 5 points and that's pretty much all he does statistically. He played 8 minutes. I thought he had a good game. And I think that Mike Woodson would look at it and say, these were the kinds of games I envisioned for Gabe Cups. 8 to 15 minutes, not asking him to do too much, not overexposing him, but letting him just kind of, make his impact in pockets and not have to go be this sort of, high minutes, high usage point guard too soon into his career. We're still talking about a game, as you said. I think Indiana trailed by as many as 16 points, though it's probably worth saying they also led by as many as 11. They win by 5. Maryland's not going anywhere this season either. Let's not overstate it. But, given the extent to which it has felt at times in the last month or so, like Indiana season was kind of, spinning or spiraling. It's at least worth giving them credit for, what they've done these last couple games.
Zach Osterman, Indy Star, joining us here on a special edition Wednesday, reviewing the Maryland victory against Wisconsin. Everybody that played scored against Maryland. Everybody played more 6 minutes or more scored. CJ Gunn played 3 minutes and did not. So I'm not gonna. That's not making my point for me or not making my point for me. But we've talked about this over time, and we've talked about it throughout the season as well. It's amazing when you can have a couple people, a couple three or four people knock down a three, and all of a sudden it just changes the tenor of everything. Against Wisconsin, we talked about Anthony Leal hadn't made one in five or six games. Malik Renew had missed his last however many in a row, and they made him in that game. Same thing at Maryland. McKenzie and Baco was outstanding. We'll get to his performance, but you get a three from Cups, you get a three from Xavier Johnson, you get a three from Leal, and Indiana didn't die by the three. They don't have to live by it, but they just can't die by it, right?
No, I think that's fair, and it, you know, it's worth saying in both of these games, you know, Indiana's outscored from behind the 3-point line, but in both games, Indiana's much more efficient behind the 3-point line. Maryland shoots 37.5%, which is substantially better than their season average. They're one of the worst 3-point shooting teams in the country, but Indiana shoots 43.8%. You know, Indiana only makes 6 to Wisconsin's 8, but Wisconsin attempts almost twice as many, 8 of 26 to Indiana's 6 of 14. So, I mean, it's, you know, listen, I mean, I'm just sitting here and trying to add it up. When was the last time Indiana made more threes than an opponent? It was the Iowa game on January 30th. When was the last time before that, strangely enough, that Purdue game at home? It hasn't happened very often this season, and it might be relevant to say it, one of the three times that it has happened kind of in the last, I don't know, 15, 16 games or whatever, is the Minnesota game. They made 6 and Minnesota only made 3. So the point is Indiana's never going to be prolific there. But as you say, you can't get killed there.
You can't be minus 27. You can't be minus 24 in games. There's no way to make that up.
Right, exactly. It digs too deep of a hole for you.
And Indiana has shown maybe a penchant for better offense. Dave and I were joking on Monday. This was the way Indiana has to win. They don't shut people out. They usually don't score a lot, but so they got to put some points on the board. 50 in the second half, excellent. And the second half performance of McKenzie and Baco. Look, I talked about this earlier in the week, and I want your opinion on this. After the game, all we heard about was the senior backcourt and Khalil Ware's second half. I don't know how Mbako's getting lost in all this, but if you score 24 on the road, including 18 in the second half, I'm not telling you it's a Jalen Hood-Schifino at Purdue performance. I'm not going there. But that was really, really good from Mbako, because the first 2 minutes of the second half, he was not very good. And in the first half, you could make the argument that he wasn't at the races either.
Yeah, I mean, again, if you kind of want to talk about what, you know, what maybe Mike Woodson's justified in saying this is what I thought it would look like, you know, kind of as an example. You know, Mbako doesn't win Big Ten Freshman of the Week. Cam Christie got that at Minnesota. He scored 42 points. He was a lot less efficient than Mbako was last week, but, you know, he had a good week, and you give him credit for that. But, you know, these last two games, really, Mbako, 38 points. You know, he was 4 of 10 against Wisconsin. He was 8 of 15 against Maryland. He was 6 of 13 from behind the arc in two games last week. He only had 4 rebounds across two games, but I think it's sort of interesting that it feels like almost Indiana's suddenly able to sort of give him less rebounding responsibility. I think he's gotten a lot better defensively in the last few weeks. And I think that Mike Woodson would look at it and say, well, this is the player I thought I had offensively. You know, when I was kind of divvying up shots and I was saying, you know, and listen, it hasn't worked out that way. So a coach only gets a certain amount of credit for this. But, you know, I think we're another area where Mike Woodson might say, you know, hey, if we had a little bit more runway, or if we'd adjusted just a little sooner, it feels like if you even go back to like a Nebraska game or a Northwestern game, you know, McKenzie Mbako's got 3 20-point games in his last 5. He has started to look more like, you know, maybe that player that Indiana thought could carry a real scoring load this season, and in particular, a real load of shot volume this season. He's also, you know, in terms of efficiency plus quantity, he is Indiana's best free throw shooter. I would argue at this point he's Indiana's most impactful three-point shooter. I know other players have maybe slightly better averages in a lot of cases on lower volume for different reasons.
He's the only one that's going to make a handful of them. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, he's made 31 out of 85 in league play. That's 36.5%.
Well, the other point that I've noticed with his game, and I want your thoughts on this as well, he was catch and shoot for the first 15 games. He didn't put it on the deck. He didn't post up. Now you see him get into the lane, turn, spin, fade. You see him put it on the deck, drive to the hoop, get to the foul line. Not everybody evolves at the same pace. And when you have that top 10 label, I know Mike Woodson's been very protective of him, but it is nice to see this evolution and not just a static, he's going to stand in the corner and shoot threes all game. That's all he does.
No, that's, yeah. No, I think, I mean, he had that one pull up two with a rhythm bounce off a shot fake in the second half against Maryland that just looked so, it looked very effortless. It looked very just sort of, you know, a player kind of in his confidence and in his instinct and in his rhythm. Just
in his bag. He's got that in his bag. Absolutely.
Just playing, basically. And if you actually look at some of his other numbers, like he could probably stand to rebound the ball a little bit better, but he doesn't turn it over a lot. You know, he doesn't have a high assist rate, but that's normal. You know, ultimately you're not asking him to have a high assist rate. His foul numbers have actually come down in league play slightly, and he's got a top 15 in Big Ten games alone. He's top 15 in the league in fouls drawn per 40 minutes, which means he's getting to the free throw line, which is where, again, I would argue he's probably the player Indiana wants to see there more than anyone else right now. You know, if you say, who do you want taking clutch free throws, that sort of thing. You know, I know Xavier Johnson struggled a little bit lately. Historically, he's a very good free throw shooter. Maybe he's one or 1A, but I think Mbaku at worst is 1B. And yeah, again, I think this is kind of another one of those areas where if you're Mike Woodson, you're allowed at least some leeway to say, hey, maybe I didn't get us there in time, but this was what I had in mind. This was what I thought we were capable of. This was what it was supposed to look like. Now, again, they've won two games in a row. They're still miles away from the NCAA tournament picture, and they'll probably never enter it. I don't think anybody, you know, the heavy statistical probability in terms of how this season is kind of remembered is going to be one of disappointment. But I think it is, again, just kind of another data point Mike Woodson can point to and say, you know, hey, I wasn't wrong to aim for this. I just wasn't able to kind of get my team there in the efficiency that I wanted.
Mackenzie Mbaku has had a career high in three of his last five performances. Now the senior backcourt that did finally get together, and we've seen now 69 total minutes in that Maryland game, only three turnovers. The boys, Galloway and Johnson, combined for 25, eight boards, 10 assists, and just those three turnovers. I thought even better, Zach, was they just committed three fouls total, and Maryland has active guards, as we know. Again, it's good to see this. This is why you want a veteran experience backcourt on the road in Big Ten play. Again, is this the start of something, or is this the peak of it? What is your feeling? I know it's not. You don't have a ton of we don't have a ton of data here, but what I saw on Sunday afternoon looked pretty solid with that many minutes being played.
Yeah, I mean, I keep circling back to this, but I think it's another one of those areas where Mike Woodson would be justified in saying, hey, like when I had both of these guys that were really good point of attack defenders, when I had both of these guys that I trusted to, you know, kind of know where to go find their offense, when to do it, when to pull it back. And Xavier Johnson can be a little bit mercurial in this sometimes, I know. But when I had these two guys that could both be, you know, real sort of creative forces for me, and I would basically feel comfortable putting the ball in either player's hands to run my offense. And of course, we've talked in recent weeks about just how good Trey Galloway has been, you know, kind of assisting, creating, whatever term you want to use there. I mean, the last time he finished a game without at least two assists was January 27th at Illinois, a game where Indiana just wasn't making shots because the game was going slow and they didn't have Khalil Ware and some other things. But it's again, I think, an area where Mike Woodson is allowed to say, this is what I thought we could be. And I think Mike Woodson would say basically, you know, I didn't get us there in time. And, you know, again, that's not necessarily the only thing holding Indiana back. There's some, you know, there's some stuff with their profile, the computer rankings, their efficiency numbers that I think are real problems for Indiana as well. And maybe just reflect again, a team that's maybe was always a little bit more flawed than what its coach sort of tried to accept, because ultimately you can't just be like, well, we're bad, we're going to be bad, there's nothing I can do about it at the end, you know.
Coaches don't think that way or work that way. That's no, absolutely
they, right. I mean, they can't. It's obviously self-defeating and unhealthy. So the point is, it's just kind of another area where I think Mike Woodson would say, hey, you know, if I had these two together all year, then we'd be different. And if I could, you know, compartmentalize Gabe Kupp's, you know, impact a little bit more, he'd be different. And if I had been able to kind of have these two guys running the show, you know, I mean, Mike Woodson would probably point to a Kansas, you know, where I think Xavier Johnson's out in that game. I think he'd probably point to, you know, a at least to some extent, a Northwestern, although the final score of that game is a little bit deceiving. It's not a terribly long list, but again, Mike Woodson might say, well, listen, you know, if we're, I mean, because let's also be fair, Kalel Ware, not in that Wisconsin game, look what he does to Wisconsin and Bloomington. You know, Xavier Johnson plays at Illinois, but Kalel Ware isn't available for that Illinois game. And, you know, we said going into that game, well, Indiana might need to play smaller anyway. But the flip side is, you know, look at how impactful Kalel Ware has been in some of Indiana's wins.
Especially against softer front courts.
Yes, definitely. And so, I mean, you know, I mean, the Iowa, again, it's at home, but the Iowa game is another great example. I mean, Kalel Ware dominates Iowa in that game. So my point here is it's one of those where it doesn't absolve Woodson, his staff, his players, whatever, of every sort of mistake or sin committed this season. But that doesn't mean that they're not allowed to at least sort of say, like, hey, you know, this really would have looked different somehow if we had had to use Woodson's words, a full deck. And, you know, again, everybody's got injuries. I get that. But Xavier Johnson's played 16 games. You know, that's he has played, you know, I mean, Indiana's played 29, so he's played barely more than half of them. Kalel Ware has played in 26. The three he missed, Illinois, Wisconsin, Kennesaw State, less so, but I would argue Illinois and Wisconsin, he was a pretty big miss in those. Malik Renews played all the games, but I would suggest that there was a stretch there where he really wasn't very healthy and was playing through, in particular, the ankle injury. I think these last two games are, you know, evidence for Mike Woodson to at least to some extent claim, like, hey, I wasn't just kind of making this up. I really did think that this was going to work. I think probably what it means, what it says more than anything else, is that even under the best case scenarios, Indiana was in a position where, you know, the margin for error was really slim in terms of the outcomes of this season. Like I say this all the time, but if we ran 1,000 simulations of this season and you looked at the ones that, let's say, you know, ended in the NCAA tournament, we would regard as a success for Indiana. I think we'd find that there were fewer of those than maybe Mike Woodson would have hoped before the season began. And they probably would have required more best case situations in terms of injuries, in terms of, you know, when you played certain other opponents and those kinds of things.
All right, more with Zach Osterman after we take a quick timeout for Diane Daly's news headlines. This is the Crazy Horse Tavern Happy Hour on a midweek Wednesday, the Crazy Horse Tavern on Kirkwood. You can enjoy Happy Hour or any hours. They're open daily at 11 a.m. for lunch, dinner, or late night. Warm days on the patio. We had a couple earlier this week. Those will be soon almost daily occurrences. Full bar, 80 domestic craft and imported beers, hundreds of rare and high-end whiskeys and tequilas. The Crazy Crazy Horse Tavern on Kirkwood. Happy Hour continues next. Welcome back. Crazy Horse Tavern Happy Hour, midweek Wednesday, March 6th. IU basketball game night tonight in the Barn Williams Arena, 9 o'clock on the Big Ten Network. Hoosiers and Golden Gophers. Ben Johnson, year number 3, starting to get it figured out there in Minnesota, and Indiana looking to pick up a 3-game winning streak. We haven't talked about one of those in Big Ten play here in 2024 yet, and to make heads or tails of it all, part two with Osterman here on a Wednesday. Do you change the starting lineup? Do you put Xavier Johnson back in there, or do you keep Gabe Cupps in there to get off to a decent start like you saw at Maryland? How important or not important do you think that is tonight, 9 o'clock, Big Ten Network?
I mean, personally, I mean, you know, Mike Woodson's always kind of been, hey, like, this is one of those things that's defined by whether you earn it or not. You know, Johnson only got 15 minutes in the win over Wisconsin. He really struggled in that game. 5 turnovers, 1 assist, 5 points. The flip side, though, is in that game, I think Mike Woodson can justifiably say, hey, like, Trey Galloway, you know, 12 assists. Like, we were kind of riding the hot hand in that game. And it was obviously less of a guard-driven game for Indiana as well. You know, your 3 double-digit scores in that game were your 3 forwards, Renu and Bako and Ware. I guess I would imagine Johnson starts. You know, he played 32 minutes at Maryland. It doesn't seem like there's any sort of limit on his playing time at this point. He played really well at Maryland. You know, you've got a Minnesota team where it's, you not just sort of know, like, okay, a lot of this is going to start with Elijah Hawkins, who's, you know, he's got the number one assist rate in the Big Ten in conference games, and he's averaging something crazy like 7.5 assists a game. But you also have the learned experience of understanding that's how you stop Maryland. You know, Hawkins in Bloomington wound up with 6 assists, but he got in foul trouble early. He only made 2 of 12 shots. He was just largely taken out of the offense at the point in the game when Indiana was really kind of taking control of it. Indiana, if you look at kind of the KenPom breaks these things down by quarters. If you look at the first, second, third quarters of that game, Indiana outscores Minnesota by 15, then gets outscored by 5, then outscores Minnesota by 7. So the point is, like, in the stretch of that game where the terms of it, the pace of it, the tempo, the course of it were being decided, Hawkins really wasn't involved. And you're kind of in a situation where, again, if you're Mike Woodson, you say, well, this is what I needed. I needed both of these guys because you can put either Johnson or Galloway on Hawkins, and then the other one can do more, carry more of the offensive load, you know, and you can basically tell one of them just put a lot of your chips in the basically the defensive basket here, so to speak. Slow down the point guard, get him out of the offense as best you can. It's not going to be perfect, but, you know, the best you can do with it, and then we don't have to worry about you having to run things at the other end as well. We got the other guy to do it. I personally would start Johnson. I think he's earned it. And I think if you're Mike Woodson, you sort of say, well, if your whole thing is this is what it was supposed to look like, this is what we're supposed to be capable of, well, then lean into it now. You know, you've got these guys healthy, and you don't have them healthy for long because Xavier Johnson is quite literally out of eligibility in, you know, whenever this run kind of ends for Indiana in the next few weeks. So I would start Johnson. I think you can still see a decent amount of, you know, if it's not Gabe Cupps, you know, CJ Gunn. I think you're going to need at least one good bench guard, Leal, Gunn, Cupps, whoever, maybe two, just because I think the process behind sort of slowing Minnesota down is going to require more than just, you know, 38 minutes of Trey Galloway and 38 minutes of Xavier Johnson. But I would start Johnson personally. And I'll be curious to see what he does.
You get a little more efficient too if that bench can help you, because you can get guys a little bit of a breather, a little bit of a rest. Mike Woodson's done that. He has given up on and he has evolved as the season has gone on. He is playing his horses, his big horses, big minutes now. He is no longer taking them out at the under 12 timeout. We've gotten through that. We have evolved. And as Indiana moves forward through this, you saw Minnesota go to Illinois. It was an absolute track meet. There was some amazing stat with Minnesota. They shot 70% from the field, had 5 turnovers, and lost on the road. How does that happen? And then Minnesota comes home and plays Penn State. They win, but they were down 23 points in the game. So Minnesota down 41-18 at halftime. The Big Ten just the Big Ten's drunk.
Yeah, I mean, Minnesota's also just kind of had some games like this season. I mean, you reach back to that Nebraska game where they were down double digits at home, and that was back in December, and they win by 11. You know, the Indiana game, again, like Indiana
sounds awfully familiar.
Was in control of that game for a while, but ultimately kind of didn't necessarily run away with it the way we thought they might. You know, I mean, Minnesota just kind of looks to me like your sort of run of the mill, you know, just kind of not particularly NCAA tournament caliber Big Ten team. They're going to finish somewhere between 7th and 12th. You know, they're almost certainly not going to be in the tournament conversation, although they do have some decent wins. You know, maybe they could make a little bit of a run here. You know, their worst loss right now is Missouri at home. That's all the way back in November. Their second worst loss might actually be Indiana at Indiana. I guess they also lost to San Francisco in a semi-road game. But, you know, like, I mean, they beat Penn State on the road by 9. That was a game Penn State led by 16 and near the start of the second half. They have had some of these games where, you know, the just kind of the flow of them has swung wildly. And I think what's worth saying, and we said this the first time these two teams played, they can be a very good offensive team. You know, their Big Ten shooting numbers have stabilized a little bit, and then they'll turn the ball over on occasion. But they're really good moving the ball around. Unsurprisingly, with Hawkins, with Mike Mitchell, you know, sort of as a secondary ball handler, they're really good just kind of keeping the ball moving. A lot of their baskets are assisted. They're actually one of the top 5 teams in the country in percentage of made field goals that are assisted. And they'll shoot a lot of threes. You know, they're second in the Big Ten in 3-point attempts as a percentage of field goal attempts in the conference or in conference play. That they will shoot a lot of threes. They won't always make a lot of threes. You know, again, you go back to that game in Bloomington, they shot 20 and they made 3. But they will try to be one of those teams offensively. And that means that they can be susceptible to scoring runs. It also means that they can put up points in a hurry if they want to. And if they're shooting well, and if you're Indiana, you've got to be really, really locked into, again, I think as much as you can, disrupting that sort of point of attack with Hawkins to start with and not letting them get too comfortable.
Minnesota's not going to show Indiana something they haven't seen all year long. And again, these teams have already met. Indiana's beaten Maryland twice, but they've lost to guard-heavy Penn State. Outside the perimeter players, Dawson Garcia, wasn't he in foul trouble in game number 1 as well? How does that matchup work?
Yeah, he kind of went to the bench pretty fast in that game. Yeah.
So, again, the reason Garcia gets entered into the conversation is he's long. He's 6'11". And, again, Indiana showed at Maryland that they do not need Ware firing on all cylinders to win. It'd be nice to have him bounce back. Hard to play 19 minutes and not score.
No, I mean, I don't know. It really is just kind of hard to know what to make of this. Like, I think Indiana actually has some matchup advantages on Minnesota. I think Indiana can kind of, you know, Pharrell Payne is, I think, a bit of an underrated player. You know, he's tough rebounding the ball. He's particularly troublesome rebounding the ball offensively. I think he's a better shot blocker than people give him credit for. And, you know, even against like a Khalil Ware, for example, he gives up some height, but he doesn't give up weight. You know, he's listed at 255, and he's not overweight, but like he knows how to use his weight and play with his weight. But you go back to that Minnesota game in January, and you don't just talk about Hawkins. As you said, Dawson Garcia gets in, and he only finishes with 3, but he sits a lot of that first half. Payne has 17 points, but Ware also has 17 points. Payne has 10 rebounds, but Ware has 14 rebounds. And then Malik Renu also has 16 and 6. And so it's kind of one of those things where, you know, The two big X factors I think Minnesota really has are, number one, Hawkins is just so good when he's playing well, creating for others. And number two, Minnesota will not be shy about shooting the ball. They will, if they can find a bit of a run, you know, if they can find a bit of a vein of form shooting, they will keep shooting. You know, you look at their, you know, their numbers like across their last, basically since the start of February, 23 attempts against Northwestern, 23 attempts against Michigan State, 26 attempts at Iowa, 25 attempts at Purdue, 16 against Rutgers, but 19 against Ohio State, 23 at Nebraska, 20 at Illinois, 20 against Penn State. What's ironic is their best three-point shooting performances in the last month or so have come in losses. They haven't hit, they've hit double-digit threes in a game three times, and they've lost all three of them. But the point is, I think Minnesota is probably the team that's more explosive offensively in this game. The flip side is Indiana, as discussed, has multiple guards that it trusts defensively that it can run at Elijah Hawkins. The advantages that Minnesota has inside with a Dawson Garcia, you know, again with Payne to a certain extent, I would argue Indiana's still probably better there. You know, it's a bit of a right now, if you're asking me kind of who's Big Ten freshman of the year, it's probably a, for me anyway, a battle between Freeman at Iowa and Bacco at Indiana and Cam Christie at Minnesota. So you're going to, and I'd be a little surprised if you don't see Christie and Mbacco guarding each other for, you know, long stretches of this game. So I think, you know, realistically, this game might also be decided a little bit by the two freshmen and who can get the better of the other one at both ends of the floor. But it is a funky matchup. And I feel like, you know, I don't obviously watch as much Minnesota as I do Indiana, but when you do talk about some of these sort of extreme results they've had in both directions where, you know, games where they've led big and lost, games where they've trailed big and won, you do feel a little bit like, you know, maybe this is just a team that's, you know, kind of the mood swings and the inconsistencies make it difficult to pin down exactly what it looks like.
And that is life in the Big Ten right there in the middle of the pack. Minnesota is 9-9. Indiana is 8-10. Hoosiers went out. They will be 10-10 heading to the Big Ten tournament in Minneapolis. Everything's happening in Minneapolis. The women's play-in games go tonight as well. Indiana, Minnesota, 9 o'clock, the Big Ten Network. Hoosiers, according to ESPN Bet, are 5.5-point underdogs, and the total is 149.5. The matchup predictor, 74-26, Minnesota over Indiana. And I don't know what that means. I just pass it on to you, and you can figure out everything it means. Let's do a quick minute or two on women's basketball. Your colleague today, Mike Nyes, had the update from Terry Morin's media, which we've been talking about all afternoon long. And I don't know, when I hear the details of a kneecap that wants to pop inside and out, I don't get optimistic.
That's not great, is it? No.
What's that?
It doesn't sound great, does it?
No, and it doesn't sound like it's painless either. Unlucky for Indiana women's basketball, that's for sure. But if I think I have my dates right here, let's say Indiana gets knocked out in game one and Holmes doesn't play. Well, they've done the work. They're in the top 16. I don't think one game in the Big Ten tournament is going to knock them out of a top four hosting
capability. You need for that game to be Michigan, probably, just to feel assured of it. And by the way, Michigan's not been playing particularly well lately. I guess Michigan's probably still not. I know Michigan's still not necessarily a scalp by any means, but like if we're doing the net thing, like Michigan is still 51. I think the other two potential opponents there are Minnesota, right, which is 64, and then Rutgers, which is like
150 something. They're terrible.
Yeah, Rutgers is way out there. So like you could maybe live with Minnesota too, but I think you would, first of all, I think if you're Indiana, just the way Michigan kind of finished the season, they had some pretty heavy losses down the stretch. You should feel like maybe you can win that game without Mackenzie Holmes. God, you'd at least like to have one of Holmes or Lily Meester back. I mean, I know Terry Morin said that Indiana can play yard and guard zone at the five, and maybe you can get away with that for one game. But, you know, you'd like to have at least one sort of like clear cut post player there. But I think you would probably like that to just be Michigan if you are going to lose it, because it does feel, again, like you said, when you hear the way Terry Moran talked about Mackenzie Holmes' knee, it does feel like maybe one, like if you can give her one more week, give her one more week, essentially.
They'll get that because the women's selection show follows the men's selection show on St. Patrick's Day.
That's true. It's basically two more weeks.
Right. If you want to go, the earliest they'll play would be the Thursday of that week, which is the 21st. Yeah. And that's 18 days between.
That's a good point.
Well, that's the lucky part. And I know the Big Ten tournament doesn't – that's not where Indiana's setting their shop up this year. They've got bigger dreams than that.
Not at all. And I think I think if Indiana wins that Friday game, they're fine.
Okay.
And I think if they lose, in terms of the top four, you know, kind of where they are, I think winning that Iowa game, to me, gave them the sort of – jewel in the middle of the crown that said we are much more like these teams above us than we are like these teams below us, if you understand what I'm saying.
And it wasn't a fluky win against Iowa either. It was pillar to post, as you like to say.
Numbers do matter a little bit in these conversations. And you know, if you're just kind of comparing Indiana to what's beneath them, it feels like that Iowa game was sort of the one that they needed to be able to say, we are much more, maybe we're the tail end of it, but we're the tail end of the best teams in the country, not the best of the trailing pack, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, trying to catch up, right.
But I think that just winning one in Minneapolis would probably just sort of make Indiana just sort of solidify them there. Now, here's the one thing I'd say. You know, they're 12th in the net. Other teams are going to lose too. It's a little bit different than the men's tournament because – the men's tournament backs up straight into Selection Sunday, so we know that the committee has to basically build the bracket out Friday night, and there's not a lot of room to move pieces around after that. The women's bracket won't be quite the same, but again, other teams will lose too. You know,
only one team can win a conference championship. Absolutely right.
Yeah, you can't assume that literally every team that's gunning for one of these, you know, one of these maybe three or four seeds where Indiana falls in that range, you can't assume that every single one of those teams is going to win and you're going to lose.
Right. Or all the teams ranked.
Just get to Saturday in Minneapolis. Yeah. I think they're safe. Even if they don't, you know, I think they've still got a pretty strong case. But if they could just win that one game, that just kind of puts, again, maybe a lot of those sort of that trailing pack in their baffles a little bit, then I think they're safe. And then from there, yeah, it's just sort of like, hey, house money here. And then we go home, we get healthy, and we move on or whatever.
All right, big thanks to Zach Osterman for joining us earlier today to get ready for Indiana and Minnesota. 9 o'clock, Big Ten Network tonight. Hoosiers 5.5-point underdogs looking to win their third straight for the first time in 2024. Zach will join us tomorrow in his normal Thursday slot as well. We will review the outcome from Williams Arena tonight and get you ready for Senior Day. Michigan State is in town. 4:30 on CBS Sunday. And, we'll have a clearer picture after Sunday's game, and we'll have a clearer picture of our clearer picture getting in position to get into position after tonight's result again from Minneapolis. Thanks for joining us here on a Wednesday night. We're back tomorrow, Glass in the Afternoon. Our final program before spring break tomorrow. Tomorrow, Zach Osterman in the Crazy Horse Tavern Happy Hour. We will talk to Ivy Tech Chancellor Eric Coyne, Diane Daly's news headlines, Joe Smith reports, Indiana men's soccer coach Todd Yeagley, Michelle Moss from the City of Bloomington's Volunteer Network, and more with Osterman. Have a great Wednesday night. CBS Sports is next.